in 1 Samuel chapter 17, probably one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. And but God's put this in my heart. We've been preaching kind of along the lines of the winning with God against all odds. And David is not a man of very big stature. He's not a warrior. He's a shepherd. And David is going to be facing a giant in this chapter by the name of Goliath. If you go with a cubit being 1 foot 5 inches, and that could have run anywhere between 1 foot 5 and 1 foot 8 inches, just depending, it was a measurement from the elbow to the tip of the finger. I know that's more than 15 inches on me. 17 inches would be 1 foot 5 inches, but the very least that Goliath was 9 foot 3 inches tall. That's a big man. I know in prison I had a fella by the name of Howard that was 6'10", and I always loved to see him come in the chapel because he had to duck to get in. And that's the truth. I mean, when he come through the door, he had to duck. And I always, the way that I greeted Howard, I went like this, and I jumped up in a chair. I had to be standing in a chair just to get my arms around his neck. The man loved the Lord, and I appreciate God's people. And this just doesn't look like it's possible here. And I think we're facing things. Listen to me carefully. I think we're facing things in our country that just doesn't look like it's possible to get out of it. It don't look like it's possible to win. But we need to remember, though we're facing some very, very huge giants, there's somebody bigger than the giants. And you might say, well, Pastor, why don't you just give up and give in, forget about it? I'll tell you why. Little boy named Sawyer. Little girl named Olivia. Little girl named Macy. Little boy named Liam. Amen. Little girl named Avery. What are they going to grow up in? Brother David, their little babies. What are they going to grow up in if we just roll over and play dead? That's what the children of Israel were doing. They were just rolling over and playing dead. The giant goes down in the valley, and they're shaking in their shoes. But a little shepherd boy said, who does he think he is? You see, all they could do was see the giant. They'd look head to toe, head to toe, head to toe. I thought for a minute my sermon notes was on the wall back there. Amen. I caught that out of the corner of my eye. Amen. That'd be a good sermon, wouldn't it? Next? Previous? Never mind. You give me a Bible and those notes and I'll preach. I promise you that. Amen. Appreciate the Lord. They looked at that giant head to toe, head to toe. And we're looking at the giants today. But what we need to do is just when we start, just go, when we get at that head, don't stop at that head. Just go on up. Look at that head. Honey, the church has a head. His name is Christ. Amen. And beloved, listen. He's got this under control. Look at verse 50. The Bible said, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. And he smote the Philistine and he slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and he slew him, and he cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now I want you to see this right here. This spoke to my heart. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted. You see, they had to see the giant defeated before they had any shout in them. David had to shout in him before, help me, before the giant was ever defeated. David was looking to God before the giant ever hit the ground. Amen. And the word of God said, they pursued the Philistines till they come to the valley, to the gates of Ekron. Pray with me. Father, thank you this morning for your people. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you for your power. And I pray now, Lord, in the next few minutes, you'll speak to our hearts. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to share some things with you this morning, and I'll be as brief as I possibly can, but I want to give you a couple of thoughts this morning that I think will be a blessing. And we're looking at a man here by the name of David that was faithful in the little things. He didn't have to have a big job to be faithful. He could take care of his father's sheep, and he was willing to be faithful in the little things. And I believe what God is looking for in the church today is not necessarily somebody that put on a big show, so to speak, or accomplish something that's real big, but just be faithful where God has planted you, amen, and do what God wants you to do. You say, Pastor, I don't understand these giants, where this is coming from in your heart. Well, let me say some things to you. Beloved, first of all, personally, I mean, in every church, there's churches just like ours all over Kingsport, all over Tennessee, all over the United States of America. In every church, I promise you, there's people that are facing giants personally. There's people that are facing giants that are financial giants. I'm seeing it over and over and over in the news where people's credit cards are about maxed out, because they just can't make ends meet. Their salary will not pay. They're taking on another job and another job. Some people, listen, most of us, we can't associate with that. God has been good to us. Would somebody say amen? But I'm telling you, there are people all around us that are hurting. There are moms that are trying to raise their youngins, and they're hurting, and they've just about been stretched to the limit. So there's financial giants, there's spiritual giants, there's people that just cannot seem to believe that God can handle the problems, amen, that are in front of them. There are people that are unsaved with a giant of unbelief, a giant of pride. I was thinking today, you might think this is strange, but I think it would be wonderful. Listen. If people would just begin to confess, the Word of God said, confess your faults one to another and be ye healed. I believe it'd be wonderful if sometime or another there was a meeting where somebody just stood up and said, I'm not saved. Would y'all pray for me? I don't know what the problem is, but I want to be saved. I believe there are people that could stand up and say, I'm in a state of confusion. I don't know what to believe. You say, Pastor, that would be so humiliating. Well, if we would humble ourselves, God would help us. Amen. But no, we want to hide it. We want to act like everything's all right. Amen. If somebody would stand up and say, I have an unforgiven spirit. I need help. God's people, would you pray for me? It's a giant in my life. It's killing me. Amen. And I'll tell you something right now, beloved. Pride is killing our churches. Y'all can remember, beloved, meetings where moms was not ashamed to ask for prayer, and dads were not ashamed to ask for prayer, and drunkards were not ashamed to ask for prayer. They'd say, I can't do this. I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't. But they would point them to one who can. Say amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the giants, beloved, that people are facing personally. But there are giants that we're facing nationally. Beloved, listen, the border, I want you to think about 2.5 million people in just 2 years. Now listen to me carefully. Please listen to me. That's that we know of. How many's already figured out the government don't count right? I figured this out this morning, beloved. the CDC counted the abortions, I believe it was in 2019, and their number was 629,898. There was another organization that counted the abortion, and their number was 916,460. Somebody tell me whose number is probably closer to right. Say amen. A government never has been able to count right. Say amen. But I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, we've got some giants in our land. And I believe, listen, there people say, well, there's no place for politics in the pulpit. I believe that's one of our problems in America. God's men have been afraid to sound the trumpet and to sound the warning. They're afraid to say that drunkenness is wrong. They're afraid to say that the drugs, listen, you've got one side that's saying legalize them. And just throw it all out there, amen. Let's collect a few more taxes. I'm going to tell you, that's never going to help us, amen. You got one side that says life and another side that says choice. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. God knows, God in heaven knows, we're facing some giants that we absolutely cannot handle without Him, amen. And the Word of God tells us that David was willing to go down there to be faithful before he even went down to face the giant. I want you to think about something this morning. Beloved, listen, we've come to a place in America where that we put a stamp of approval on same-sex marriage. We've put a stamp of approval on abortion. And now, beloved, we're being pushed towards Marxism and towards socialism. And you say, Pastor, why would you speak about those things? Because, beloved, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to find out what I'm talking about. And you need to understand, beloved, that everybody in this country is not interested in preserving this country. There are some that are interested only in destroying this country that these veterans fought and give their lives for. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, listen to me. I thank God for America. We'll legalize drugs. I'm not on that side. Sodomy, I'm not on that side. Marxism, I'm not on that side. Listen to this. Every eight and a half minutes, somebody in our country dies from fentanyl. 175 people every day die. You say, Pastor, oh, that's all because of an open border. I'm going to say this. Listen to me. That's part of the problem. That's only part of the problem. Last time I checked, there's no Chinese over here tamping them down the throats of the American people. The American people, beloved, are without God. And they're looking for an answer in appeal instead of looking for an answer in the Bible, in God's Word. They're dissatisfied. And beloved, they're hungry for truth. And there's a famine in the land for the truth of the Word of God. David was the right man. I believe with all of my heart. I'm speaking to some people today. You're the right one for such a time as this. God put you where you are. And listen to me. I believe we need to do what we can. God is not going to hold us accountable for what we cannot do, but God will hold us accountable for what we can do. May God help us. Amen. To do what we can. David, he was faithful in the little things. David was the right man. He was a man after God's own heart. I believe with all of my heart, when we're doing the research on the issues, we ought to ask ourselves this question, where does God stand? Don't you find it amazing, beloved, that we're willing, listen to me carefully, to pour billions of dollars into Ukraine's border, and we're unconcerned about our own? Don't you find that amazing? I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, these are giants. You say, Pastor, what are you going to do about it? I tell you what I'm going to do about it. Number one, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you in a few moments. I'm asking for my children, my grandchildren. I believe there's a lot in the balance, beloved. Listen, this thing's fixing to tip. Either we can maybe thwart, amen, the direction, or it's fixing to tip and go downhill at a breakneck speed, amen. And you know what I'm afraid of? I'm going to tell you what I'm afraid of. Listen to me carefully. You can listen to the pundits and you can say, well, the conservative side of things is in good shape. I'm going to tell you what we better believe. We better believe we need God's help. And we better believe this. The pundits don't always get it right. I remember waking up, beloved, in Pennsylvania to find out that a certain man had been reelected. After I'd been fed a line, beloved, that there ain't no way he'd be reelected. I'm telling you, we need God. We need the Lord. Amen. We need the Lord. David was the right man. He was a man after God's own heart. David had the right motive. Listen, my motive. Listen to me carefully this morning. When you talk about an election, that right there is the only thing that most people think about. It should not be. This right here is what God's people ought to be thinking about. Not the pocketbook, but God's book. You say, Pastor, do you think the Giants can be defeated? I know they can. I don't think they can. I know the Giants can be defeated. Amen. But not without the help of God. It wasn't David's little rock. It wasn't David's ability. It wasn't his expertise with a sling and a stone. But I'll tell you, if you'll read your Bible, the Word of God said this day in verse 46, the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head. The first thing, beloved, was not the stone. The first thing was the Savior. The Lord's going to take care of this. Amen. I want to say something this morning. It came to my heart early this morning. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, I'm a Baptist. Everybody knows that, I reckon, right? I'm a Baptist. Baptists come out next week, and they're in favor of abortion, and they're in favor of drunkenness, and they're in favor of same-sex marriage. I'll tell you what, I'll no longer be a Baptist. But we're living in a generation, beloved, because Mamaw and Papaw, they're going to hang on to that. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth, beloved. Listen, things change along the way. Do you understand that? And, beloved, our obligation is not to the Baptist. Our obligation is to the Bible. God's holy word. And David, he had the right motive. You say, Pastor, what was David's motive? He said in verse 29, is there not a cause? David said, this is not about me. This is about the world around us knowing there's a God in heaven. This is not about me. This is about God's people sucking it up and quit being a bunch of cowards. Amen. Standing over there on the hill shaking while that giant's down there defying the armies of the living God. This is about God. God's word and God's way and God's work. This is not about me. I believe David had the right motive. David didn't understand when all this was going on that God would put his name in this book, that children's churches and Sunday schools would tell this story over and over and over and over and over. David didn't understand all that, but what David understood was right now, I need to stand up for what's right. And I really believe he believed that the same God that delivered him out of the paw of the bear and the lion, beloved, I believe he believed that same God was going to take care of him out there in front of that giant. And I know this. He had the right motive. But I want to give you this. He had the right message. David, beloved, he said in verse 37 there, he said, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. I want to give you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. While that the majority of the children of Israel could see nothing, Brother Mike, all they could see was the obstacle. All they could see was the opposition. There was one young man that saw an opportunity. And I'm going to ask you something. What do you see in America? Is that all you see is the obstacles? Honey, the giants are there. Are you with me? They're there. I'm telling you, beloved, you can go up into Michigan and the Muslims are upset because of what they're trying to push off on their kindergartners and their first graders. Amen. They're standing up in teachers' meetings and reading them the books that are on the curriculum, and it's embarrassing, amen, to the school board. They need to be embarrassed. The bums need to be thrown out. Our children got no business being taught that junk. I'll tell you something. Listen, you may not agree with me, but I believe one of the greatest things that would ever happen in America is if the money would follow the youngin'. Let mom and dad decide where that youngin' needs to go to school. And you talk about getting your ducks in a row. Say amen. I believe they get their ducks in a row. Listen to me. We are almost totally exempt in this area we live in. You see, we've got a lot of God's people on the school board. We got a lot of God's people teaching and things that love the youngins at school just as much as they love the youngins in Sunday school. But I'll tell you that it ain't that way everywhere in America. And they're trying to steal the future of America. Beloved, David, he had the right message. He said, the Lord that delivered me, he will deliver thee into my hand. David was a little man, but David had a big God. David was a little man who saw an opportunity when others couldn't see past the opposition. David was a little man that possessed a faith that let him see higher than the giant's head. Beloved, it doesn't matter what you're facing today. There is a God in heaven that desires to help you. He desires to help you. I believe that this nation was grounded and founded right. And I believe God desires, listen to me, when you got people following a preacher that would stand in a pulpit similar to this and make a statement, God, I am not going to say the word, D, America, there's a problem. I said, there's a problem. There's a problem. We need God to help us in America. Amen. God has blessed us to the point where that there are more, it seems like, that are unthankful, unholy, ungrateful for the blessings of God. Let me ask you a question. If you truly believed that America was evil, why would you want to leave her border open and let all these people come to this evil place? I'm telling you, beloved, listen. We're being fed a lie, hand over fist. I'm glad I know the truth. David knew the truth. That giant's big. Boy, I've got a God. It's bigger than that giant. That giant, he's a cursing. I like what old Brother Coulter said in that message. Oh, thank God. He left me a message on the phone. He was talking about the old devil. He said he'll be cooking soon enough. You think about that, beloved. I believe old David, listen to me, he's looking at that giant. That giant's a cussing. He said, that's okay. In just a few minutes, you'll be cooking. You say, why would you say a thing like that? Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. We know where Goliath is. He lift his eyes in the region of the damned. I promise you he did. He's no longer the big dog. He's no longer the one, beloved, to fear. He's the one in fear for all eternity. All eternity. You can win with God against all odds. And I thank God that we have example after example after example in the Scripture. Laura, if you'll come to the piano this morning, honey.